Hi, before we start this episode, I want to let you know that this was recorded before a change was made by Pinterest. Now, I'm trying to get ahead with recording because I will be traveling and out of the country for a couple of weeks. Well, lo and behold, right after I recorded this episode, which is the first in our Back to Basics series, Pinterest made changes to their pin creation tool. Now, everything I talk about this episode is all about images and how to really nail the image creation so that you can get people to engage with your content. That doesn't change, but simply idea pins and video pins, they've now merged into just a pin. So that's all we have. We used to have standard, idea, video, carousel, ad. Now we just have pins. In fact, from Pinterest, which we will put a link to this article in the show notes, it says, idea pins are now pins. We're bringing the best of our new formats to all pins with all the features like music and tagging and stickers. Those features will all be available to all pins, such as links, scheduling, post-publish editing, and different aspect ratios. So that being said, when you go to upload a pin, you're going to see some different things like 1:1, 2:3, 3:4. And I'm still going to use the language standard pin, like a regular pin, but just so you know, I'm referring to the 2:3 pin. So that's it. I just wanted to give that disclaimer that if there's anything I mention here in the episode, just know that as of May 11th, things have changed, but it doesn't make what I share in this episode any less valid. All right, let's start the episode. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Simple Pin Podcast. I'm your host, Kate All, the owner and founder of Simple Pin Media. We are a Pinterest marketing agency. And today we're going to be going back to basics in part one of our three-part series. And we like to do these every once in a while because we realize that people might be new to Pinterest marketing. We have been immersed in it over the last 9 years, and we always want to challenge ourselves to think about those who are just starting. So we believe that the best Pinterest marketing strategy starts with Pinterest images. So we're going to be talking about sizing, creatives, details, and more in this episode. And even if you've been doing Pinterest marketing for as long as we have been doing Pinterest marketing, it's always good to get a refresh. There's some things you might have forgotten or some things you might have gotten out of the habit of doing. So listen in, take some notes, and see what takeaways you can have to really up your Pinterest image game. But first, I want to let you know that in Q1 of 2023, Pinterest reported an increase of 7% in monthly users. I believe it's 463 million monthly active users, which is such good news. And here's another stat. 97% of searches on Pinterest are unbranded, which means there's a lot of your would-be buyers or readers who are shopping on the platform right now for your product or your content because they think it's the perfect fit. But if you don't have a proven strategy to get in front of them, you are missing out on one of the biggest and most profitable opportunities out there. But Kate, you say, I'm here listening to your podcast because I don't know how to make that happen. Help. I hear you, and that's why I want to invite you to chat with my team on a free, no-obligation discovery call to see if you're a good fit for our done-for-you Pinterest marketing services. We have more than 9 years of management experience, a track record of working with over 700, maybe 800 by now, Pinterest accounts. So our team knows the latest tactics, best practices, and strategies to grow your business using Pinterest. We leverage our signature Simple Pin framework to help you meet your ideal customer right when they are most inspired to take action. And we have services that fit every type of budget, every type of business, and every type of need. So go to simplepinmedia.com/services now to set up a free call. But don't wait. Every day that goes by where you're not making Pinterest a priority is a day that your competition is. So visit simplepinmedia.com/services to get in front of those 463 million users right now. Okay, on to Pinterest image basics.
You're listening to the Simple Pin Podcast, Pinterest for business advice that goes down smooth and easy. Here's your host, Kate Aull.
Pinterest pins, the images on Pinterest, are what we like to refer to as billboard advertising. This is because the average Pinterest user opens up their phone, and so many of them use their phone. That's what we also learned in the Q1 2023 investor report. They open up their phone, they go to the Pinterest app, and they begin scrolling. And they look at what their home feed is. That's the very first thing they see when they open up. And they look at the images and they see what connects with them. They don't read, which is really important to note, because maybe on Instagram, when they see an image, they read below to give themselves context, but they don't do that on Pinterest. On Pinterest, they're just looking at the image. And I see an image right now that says, how to email like an expert. Ooh, that sounds interesting. I'm going to go check that out. It was a real big, bold print. It was real standout, and it tells me exactly what I'm going to find on the other side. So how do you build these great images? First, you have to get the right size. So a standard image or a static image, this is kind of like the flagship image on Pinterest, is 2 to 3, which means it's 1,000 by 1,500. In a tool like Canva, which we recommend for everyone building their Pinterest images, unless they're like super crafty at it and they love something like Illustrator or another fancy image program, Canva is the best. It's really all you need. In there, they have templates, which are just blank, right? They're just white, but they're exactly the right size. And there's going to be different sizes for idea pins and also a little bit for ads. I don't want to go into that today because I want to stick with the basics, which is a standard or static pin. When I say standard or static pin, those two words are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. This is, again, a flagship pin on Pinterest. So we want to get the right size, 2 to 3, 1,000 by 1,500. Some people are tempted to go outside of 2 to 3 and maybe go 1,000 by 3,000. And that's what we call a giraffe pin. Pinterest has said, pump the brakes. Please do not do this. They used to cut it off on mobile. They used to have this thing that was like see more. Now I don't even think they have see more. I think they just cut it off. Sometimes they will adjust it for the space. But in order to make it look right, just stick with the size that they tell you. I kind of find that's how you're going to win the best. Second, you want to look at what text is on the image. So when it comes to text overlay, there's two reasons you want to use it. Number one is going to be because you want to give the reader context, very similar to the example I just said a couple minutes ago. I can look at the image with no text, and it is actually, I'm looking at it right now, it's just some paper clips and the side of a computer on a flat white surface. And it looks like there's also a planner on the table. So if they didn't have any if they didn't have any text on here, I would actually look at it and think, am I going to be talking about organization? Am I going to be talking about office supplies? Are we going to be talking about a planner? What are we going to be talking about here? But because they've used this actual text, I know exactly what they're going to be talking about. Then when I click on the image, what I find out is that Pinterest is getting pretty good at realizing what the words say. This is their visual search tool. So when you click on an image with a lot of text and you start to scroll below, you can see that Pinterest is matching up the same words. They're reading the image as well. They're reading that text. So that's another reason why we use our keywords on the image, because then Pinterest can read it. So you have two benefits of using text. One, the reader has context. Two, the algorithm has context. Now here's a caveat. People ask me, hey, Kate, do I need to use text overlay on every image? There's only two examples where I would say we've learned through data that it's okay not to use text. And that is the home decor space and the fashion space. So let's say in the home decor space, you're doing something like the 10 best throw pillows for the living room in spring. Well, that's something you could totally use text on because you probably have different images of the pillows, correct? Well, if you're just showing the living room, or maybe I'm searching for the best paint color, text can actually get in the way, right? That's where the person will put more details in the Pinterest description below. That's how Pinterest knows that you're searching for a certain type of paint color. And then fashion, the same applies. People want to see the whole outfit, especially if they're looking like how to style barrel leg jeans or how to style bootcut jeans. They don't want to have a big text overlay that's like how to style bootcut jeans right over the jeans, right? Because they can't see it. It's almost like they want to push it aside. However, if you're in any type of content creation or recipe creation, adding text allows context again. So let's say we have a bowl of pasta and that pasta looks really creamy. I kind of think it's mac and cheese, but come to find out it's gluten-free vegan mac and cheese. Well, I never would have guessed that. I'm not vegan, but let's say I am. Now it's way more appealing. I'm much more likely to click because I have context. The other thing you want to add in this image is your logo. Now, in the example that I was talking about before, and I just have to tell you, this is not a pre-planned example. I'm literally opening up my Pinterest app on my phone as I'm doing this podcast, is they have a very nicely placed logo in the bottom middle. Now, you always want to avoid the bottom right of an image because that's where the visual search tool, little search finder thing that Pinterest puts there, it's always there. You can't get rid of it. So put your logo anywhere else besides the bottom right. Then you want to add something that looks like a button sometimes or a call to action. So some people might put download now, get the guide, read more, shop the collection. There's a lot of things that you can do as subtle calls to action, and it can be an oval, it can be a square. But what I want you to be thinking about is that if the person is only using the image to give them context, they have to know what it's about and then this subtle call to action to get them to click. And the reason we do this is because the ecosystem of Pinterest is that somebody goes onto Pinterest to find all of their ideas. And they usually do one of two things. They save it or they click on it right away. And then they might save it later if they find it valuable, right? So it's really important that you allow people to know what's going to be on the other side because they have that whole thing of like, they're going to click on it. And this is great because that's what makes Pinterest so valuable, driving as much traffic as possible, right? Okay. So we have an older podcast I want to link to as well, because we talk a little bit about the home decor. I forgot to add this a second ago, but we talk about the home decor piece not using text overlay. So we'll link that in the show notes for you so you can learn more about Danielle and what she learned about her home decor with Pinterest and how text overlay actually did not work at all. Okay, so that's really the basics of Pinterest images. So let me go over it. We want to remember that it's billboard advertising. It needs to give the pinner context. We want to make sure that it's the right size, 2 to 3, 1,000 by 1,500. Number three, we want to use text, again, for context, except if you're in the home decor or the fashion space. And then we want to have a call to action, something that gets them to click. Creating Pinterest images is really hard for some people. It's hard for me. I find that I spend a lot of time on it. So if you're looking to buy templates, that's really one of the quickest ways to speed up your time. There's Canva templates that people buy, and when you will buy them, some people include stock photography and some people do not. With a lot of our templates, we don't include it because we want people to be thinking really clearly about how they want to match that stock photography with what is on the landing page on the website, because that tells, again, the pinner that they're in the right place. So with that, you'll open it up and you'll see that there's a space for an image, but there's chosen fonts, there's chosen places for colors. You want to upload your own fonts and upload your own colors into Canva so that you make sure that it matches. So it's really important there. Then number two, just keep testing, just keep trying. My images that I created for Pinterest in the beginning were terrible, but over time we got better and better at them. We learned about what people wanted. We tested different things. And the more you do it, the more you get better at it. It's just this trial and error. So next in our Back to Basics series, we're going to be talking about keywords. We're going to be talking about Pinterest SEO. It's a big question that a lot of people have. And in our third part, we're going to be talking about pinning, including this discussion about fresh pins. It's something that Tabby, my social media manager, and I get asked all the time, and we're finally digging in and going deep on whether or not we can truly let this whole idea of fresh pins go, or if we need to still keep it around. So make sure you listen to part two and part three. And for anything else you need, scroll below in your podcast app and click on the links below. Thank you so much for listening. If you take 30 seconds and leave a review for us, we'd be so honored. We've been doing this podcast now for 7 years. We love to serve you. We love to give you Pinterest marketing advice that really fuels your business. We'd also love to hear from you. How is it impacting you? It's really important for us. Alrighty, thanks so much for listening.